Hello and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
That is my king. And wow, black preachers get all the fun. I wish I could do that. It just would come off Norwegian, I think, if I tried. But I might try to let a well out every now and again. Well, we are here Palm Sunday, and this is a special day for Christians. And it is a day as we are looking forward to Easter Sunday next Sunday, and we look at the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And we're going to be just heading toward Matthew 21. Today and then, we are looking for a leader. Humanity is looking for a hero. And today, as we also, 2012, are looking forward to an election year and all that is happening, it made me think about how we are still longing for a leader. Sometime back, a bumper sticker company made a mistake, and they printed their template instead of their campaign sticker. Here it is. This is an actual bumper sticker that got, not with the logo, not with the Freshwater logo, but they made this template for their candidate, and then they were supposed to fill in the name and the candidate position. What? Somebody hit print too soon, and these things got printed off, but who knew? They actually became a hit, and they sold a whole bunch of these because it kind of makes a statement here. You know, I'm for somebody, I'm just not quite sure who, you know, and that's kind of how we feel and how they felt in that day. They were looking for a hero. They were looking for a king. I'm sorry, here's one. How many politicians does it take to change a light bulb? It takes two. One to tell everybody that everything possible is being done, and another to screw the light bulb into the water faucet. And that's it. We're looking for a leader. All right, well, we are in a series called Deep Impact. Our world has been deeply impacted by a singular event. Heaven has collided with earth. Jesus Christ is here. He is risen. Today, we're going to look at the impact Jesus has made on our world and what happened because of that impact, both then and today. And for many in our culture, Jesus has gone from hero to zero. And unfortunately, that's not Jesus' fault. That's Christianity's fault. And maybe that's a topic for another time. But today, we're going to talk about how Jesus is indeed our hero. And he is our king. If you'd turn with me, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1. And we will see that Jesus has indeed changed everything. While you're turning there, just coming up right after Easter, we're going to start a series called 14ers, about not living in the past, not even living in the present, but living in the future to be a 2014er with me, and dreaming God's dreams of what he has in store for us. And we're going to be going through the book of Judges, which I am trying my hardest to rename the book of Heroes, because in the book of Heroes, we see heroes capturing God's future for them. And we're going to take their lessons that they learned, and we're going to apply it to say, what does God have in store for us, and how can we take hold of that? So Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 1, I'm going to hit a couple highlights as we're going through this text, little side or important things to hit. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to a village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell them that the Lord has need of them, and he will send them right away." By the way, another gospel talks about that story that someone did ask and sent them on their way. And notice here, the owner acted out of character. Oh, sure, Lord needs it. Way it goes. To give it away like that would not be in character. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread. Oh, by the way, the colt. Colt here is not only a young donkey. He sat on them, but he rode. Other gospels tell he's riding the colt. The colt is an unbroken young donkey. And so the colt acted out of character. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut palm branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those followed shouted, Hosanna to the King, or to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? And the crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Well, here in this text, we see a whole lot, and we see here crowds welcoming Jesus into Jerusalem, their capital. And they're welcoming him not only as a good guy, as a nice guy. Oh, isn't this kind of an interesting event? This had a whole lot of meaning for them and also, obviously, for us. First thing I want to do for us today is to feel this moment for them or with them. We want to feel this Hosanna, not just understand it intellectually, but we want to feel it. We really want to capture the emotion that was going on there. The first Palm Sunday celebrates Jesus as King. He is King. Now, to put yourself in their perspective and where they were, Israel had a propensity of being ruled by other people. It happened over and over and over again in their history that Israel would have some time of self-government, then some invading army would come through and then take over them, and they would have a government in place, and the Jews would have to follow leaders from another country. And that was hard on them. It happened over and over again, primarily because Israel is a primary trade route between what would be Europe and Asia and then cutting down through Africa. This happened over and over again. Excuse me. One time in particular I want to bring up is that it happened at about 330 BC, 4th century BC, Alexander the Great comes through and conquers Israel amongst the whole known world really at that time. And he sets up Greek rule that would happen for 150 years. Sometimes this Greek rule, the Seleucids were the Greeks that ruled, and Antiochus III in particular was a superb ruler of Israel. Even the Jews were like, he's doing a better job than any of us have ever done. This is really good. But yet, it's still not self-government. It's still not biblical government. And so there was this strife going on because on one hand, it's good, but on another hand, it's not biblical and it's not self-government. And there's this strife going on. Antiochus III passed on. Antiochus IV came, and it was horrible. He was a terrible ruler. And Antiochus IV led to the Maccabean revolt and what the Jews celebrate as Hanukkah. And for 164 to 63 BC, Jews were self-governed until the Romans came. And this is now, fast forward to our passage here, the Romans are ruling for now almost 100 years. And it's hard. It's not self-government. It's not biblical government. It is sometimes harsh government. It's all about Rome. It's not about Jerusalem. And so there is this tension of leadership that is needed to happen here. Rome is overwhelming. Their armies and their navies are amazing. And their government is powerful. Yet, it's not gentle. It's not biblical. and it's not self-government. And so here they are. They're at a national event, and they are feeling all this tension of, we need a king, but Rome is all-powerful. And what do we do? What do we do? It's not self-government. It's not biblical government. And it's not the government of the Bible. On other Gospels, as they're recording the triumphal entry, John says in John 12:13, he says, the Hosanna passage, Hosanna to the highest, Hosanna, son of David. John includes that they said, blessed is the King of Israel. And then Mark, when he writes this, he says that the people also shouted, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father, David. They were welcoming Jesus as their king. In the shadow of their own capital, in the midst, in the place of their own capital, as Jesus is entering into the city, they are welcoming him as king. Palm Sunday is exactly that. It's inviting Jesus to be our king. And that's what they were doing, inviting Jesus to be their king. Now, I want to stop for a moment and again feel that moment, because you know what this first was? This was first insurrection, right? They're welcoming Jesus as their king, and by doing so, they're thumbing their nose at Rome. They're saying, Jesus, we will follow you as king before the armies of Rome. Before the military of Rome, we will follow you as our king. It is first insurrection. They were volunteering to enter a conflict with Rome. They were willing to face an overwhelming Roman military, the navy, the army. They were willing. That is how much they believed in Jesus at that moment, at this period in time. They believed in Jesus that much. They believed God was with Jesus and that anything was possible. So, why were they inviting Jesus to be king? Why were they entering into insurrection? Why were they volunteering? Because they had seen something in him. They had seen that first Jesus is filled with compassion, like no other, rarely seen in their day, like in an amazing way, Jesus is compassionate on the sick, on the poor, on the crowds. He was a person of compassion, and they recognized that. They recognized leadership in his compassion. Jesus is a prophet, they said, and of course we know much more, who spoke the word of God with power. Jesus walked with justice. He stood his ground when it came to things like taxation and devotion to God and on the temple and so much more. He was a person of compassion, but also a person of justice. He was a prophet, and he was also a miracle worker. God, they saw that God was with Jesus. They knew it, and they were willing to follow no matter what. How did they invite Jesus as king? Well, first directly, right here in their Hosanna passage, they are saying, blessed is the King of Israel. And they're directly saying it. But there's also some things that aren't quite so direct. They said, Hosanna in the highest. And that is something that, we might say in church, but I haven't said that very often other outside of church, right? Hosanna in the highest, it's kind of a that's a churchy type thing. What did they mean by that? Well, Hosanna means save. Save us. And in the highest means ultimate or greatest. So bring us ultimate rescue. Save us. Save us completely, ultimately, fully, politically, spiritually, physically. Save us. Holistically. And there was another thing here that perhaps it's Palm Sunday, it's the title. We seem, but it's actually kind of hidden. PhD research out of Dallas Seminary, a scholar was researching what in the world with the palm branches. You know, was it just something nearby or what was the deal? And the discovery was is that the palm branch was the national symbol of Israel at the time. In essence, this was a national event, and Jesus kind of showed up, and it changed the whole nature of it. But they're waving palm branches like we would wave little flags, right? We'd have the American flag, we'd be waving it, and Jesus showed up. And what did they do? They turned their national symbol into the ultimate red carpet. Their national symbol, the palm leaf, they saw Jesus and they said, we want to honor this entry with the ultimate red carpet entry. And they placed their national symbol on the ground for Jesus and a donkey to enter in. It was the ultimate red carpet event. Now, today we have red carpet events and, ooh, cool, red carpet. But red carpet was something of complete, you know, honor. We wish to honor somebody. And this was the most in-depth honor that could be given. Imagine if it was our day, that it was, you know, 4th of July and Jesus enters our Capitol and all the flags turned into carpet. Not because we were protesting the flag, but because we held the flag in such deep esteem and honor. And it was the thing of greatest value to welcome our King. The national symbol showed them how devoted they were. Today we want to bring this Hosanna forward. Today is Palm Sunday and it celebrates Jesus, King of Kings, our King. Now, here's kind of an aha moment. We're not only looking at what happened in their day, but we're bringing it forward to our day. In our family, there's a interesting aha moment that happened a while ago with these guys. This is Zach and Josiah, and they were, about 7 and 4, 6 and 3, right around in there. And the two of them were out playing one day, and they were, out playing, and they disturbed a beehive. And there, actually, it was a little boat. They moved a little boat, and there was a beehive in there. And all of a sudden, there was a whole bunch of angry bees. Of course, panic little kids, they start running. And the aha moment was for Zach discovered that he doesn't need to outrun bees. He needs to outrun his brother. And Zach came out unscathed, and Josiah had about eight bee stings out of the event. But, you know, there are aha moments in life where we discover, oh, look at this. And here's an aha moment with our text. For us, it's not just remembering an ancient day. It's bringing the Hosanna forward and recognizing what Jesus has done and crowning him our King again. Christianity has changed the world. Jesus has changed us, and we, as followers of Christ, have changed the world. This is a fantastic book called How Christianity Changed the World by Adam Schmidt. He originally titled the book Under the Influence, and that was an interesting, you know, because all of our culture is under the influence of Christianity. And in this book, he lists there 10 areas where Christianity has fundamentally changed the world. Because of what Jesus has done in our hearts, we started behaving in society differently. Democracy spread because of Christianity. It existed with the Greeks, but was falling out of favor. And as the Romans came to rule, and Christianity, because we value each person, we began to say, there's this democracy thing where each person has a say, and it spread. Sanctity of human life, something that was not around very much, that each life has is special and holy. It is to be protected from the elderly to sick, babies, even the unborn. There's a sanctity to human life, and that changed everything. as believers went about saying that every life is important. It was much different before then. Freedom and dignity for women. A lot of people think that Christianity is harsh on women, but actually, in the course of history, Christianity has said there is no difference between male and female. Christianity has welcomed women in ways that other systems have not. And freedom and dignity of women have occurred because of Jesus and how he's changed us. Charity and compassion really didn't exist before Christianity. And all of their charity events, all of our compassion events, are because Christianity has changed our hearts. Hospitals and healthcare, again, didn't really exist. Nobody wanted to take care of a sick person because you could probably get sick. Until Christians said, I will serve even at my own risk. Education, our university system was invented by Christians because we wanted our pastors to be educated. Harvard started out as a Bible college for pastors, and now it's Harvard University. Same with Oxford. The sciences, Isaac Newton left physics because he wanted to study and teach theology. Gregor Mendel, the father of genetics, was a priest studying God's creation. Over and over again, we see the sciences have roots in Christianity. Liberty and justice for all. It says right in our Constitution that these truths are self-evident, that we have been endowed by our Creator, rights of liberty and life and pursuit of happiness. Music, literature, art, and architecture, artistic expression, found its value in expressing worship. All of this comes to show that our world has been dramatically changed because of Jesus Christ. He is our hero. He is our leader. He is our king. How could something, by the way, that is untrue have such a profound effect on every aspect of culture and our own individual lives? Jesus is alive. Jesus has changed us personally. He has changed us by valuing others and compassion and wanting to seek truth and wanting to express love and relationship in arts. He has changed us, and that has had a ripple effect across society. Jesus is our King. So how can we shout Hosanna today? Christ before country. That would be great. Christ before country, and to honor him as our king before country. Also, a complete Hosanna. They said, Hosanna in the highest. Rescue us ultimately. In every way, we shout a comprehensive Hosanna. Lord, save us politically. Save us physically in our financial and our physical challenges. Lord, save us spiritually. Lord, save us today. And then also a consistent Hosanna. No matter what, calling out to him as King. One of the great ironies, but biggest lessons of this event is that this crowd that was shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, Hosanna in the highest. When they were shouting Hosanna on Sunday, that very Friday, they were calling out, crucify, crucify him. They had lost all consistency. They were ready, willing, able to follow Jesus, empowered by God, against Rome, to march against the very gates of Rome to bring freedom. What they didn't know is that Jesus had a much bigger target he was aiming for. He wanted to march on the gates of hell and bring a freedom that they had never even imagined. Because Jesus didn't do it the way they expected, they switched big time. They switched from Hosanna to crucify in the matter of days. And you know what? I got to say, even in my own life, there are times that I go, that's not the way I had it pictured. I was all in for this, but now it's a little different. And suddenly I want to pull back. The call of Hosanna, the call of Palm Sunday is to say consistently, Jesus, you are my King. I trust where you are going, no matter what. You are my King. Even when it doesn't line up with what I'm thinking, you are my King, and I will follow. We need Christ before country, a complete Hosanna, a consistent Hosanna. So, how can we find your Hosanna? Take Palm Sunday with you. This isn't an event, again, of celebrating an ancient day. This is today. And today, even though our circumstances are different, in a lot of ways, they're the same. We need a leader. We need a hero. We need somebody who walks with God. We need somebody with power and compassion, justice and hope. That is Jesus. He is our King. Jesus is our Savior. Let's make him our King again today. We trust Jesus with forgiveness. He forgives any sin. He forgives. And if you're in need of forgiveness today, there's something haunting you today, it's available in his loving embrace. It's available. Now, I have, I have a lot of problems. But one of them is that I'm pretty good at reading manuals. I get a thing and I go, ooh, let's look at the manual. Oh, look at all the statistics and how does, you know. But I am, you know, oh, look at the features. I'll read the manual. I'm pretty good at that. Somebody asked, how do you know everything about that phone? I read the manual. But you know what? As good as I am at reading the manual, I am terrible at reading directions. I open up the box, some assembly required directions, and I'm out trying to build whatever I'm trying to build. Recently, one of the things that I don't take to a mechanic are brake jobs, because I can do a brake job for about $300 less than the mechanic can do it. But again, it was one of those things where I never looked at the directions. I just did it. And I recently found out that if I use a C-clamp to compress the cylinder, that job is a whole lot easier. You know, there's value in reading the directions. Jesus is intended to be our Savior, but he also longs to be our King. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords of our own lives. Life works so much better when he is King. We need to trust Jesus as our King. He leads, we follow. Jesus does not passively lead. He doesn't passively lead, and what I mean by that, he doesn't say, well, if I need you, I'll let you know. He's not like that. It's more, go, and I'll tell you when to stop. And Jesus wishes to lead us, actively lead us. So, how can we get over the worst cliche in the world, our comfort zone? How can we get past our comfort zone into following? Well, just as a side note before we even get there, you have free will and others have free will. That will cause you problems. You have free will, others have free will. That will cause you problems. But when we willingly follow Jesus as our King, that will empower you. First, I want to encourage you to invite the King of Kings into your entertainment. Invite him into your entertainment. Jesus loves fun, but not all fun loves Jesus. Invite Jesus into your entertainment. There will be some things that you learn as you do that, that are universal, that entertainment isn't good for anybody. And then there are some areas of entertainment that you will find are very personal, and Jesus will lead you in discovery that might be okay for someone, but it's really not okay for me. It's personal. Some universal, some personal. Invite Jesus, the King of Kings, into your relationships. Christians too often do one of two things within 3 years of coming to faith. One thing that Christians do, and actually studies have shown, Christians do this within 3 years. They get rid of all their non-believing friends. All the non-believing friends are gone within 3 years. Or secondly, within the same three-year period, they embrace non-Christian friends and are corrupted by bad character. Inviting Jesus to be Lord of Lords of your relationships means that He is King and you get to impact others. Christ empowered relationships with believers and unbelievers can make all the difference in the world. Invite Jesus, the King of Kings, into your mission. What are you trying to do in life? There are things that God has placed on your hearts, and a lot of times when we hear that, we think mission. But you know what? Growing a great family is part of our mission. Invite Jesus into that mission. Having a rewarding marriage is part of your life mission. Invite Jesus into that. Ministry, career, all of these parts of your life's work are your mission. Invite Jesus into your mission. Oh, I wish I could say, well, Jesus is my King. That's my King. I wonder if you know Him. Jesus, King of Kings, has deeply impacted every aspect of our world. Recently heard Richard Dawkins, who's a famous atheist, say, we don't need God for morality. I mean, do unto others as you would have done to you seems rather obvious. And as he was saying that, I was thinking, of course it seems obvious, because his culture, England, Western culture, has been immersed in Christianity for 2,000 years. It's now obvious to us, but it was revolutionary and still is to any culture that has not seen it. And Jesus is just as revolutionary on our own lives. Jesus, King of Kings, has shown himself to be compassionate and powerful. Let's make him our King. Let's take this Palm Sunday with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this Palm Sunday. And Lord, we pray as we look to you as our King. First, Lord, we thank you for your compassion, your forgiveness. And we invite you, Lord, into our hearts and lives. Forgive us of sin. And Lord, whether we know it in the front of our head or if it's just something nagging in the back of our head, we all long for a leader, a righteous leader, a powerful leader, a compassionate leader, a just leader. And Lord, we invite you into every aspect of our lives to be that leader, that King. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.